The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Good Monday afternoon. Adam Wexler in for Fred Fowler today. AJ Hoffman. This is his program, The Blitz. Great to be with you. Hopefully some of you caught a listen with me over the last couple of days. Was here early in the AM, once with JG, once with LZ, and Lance
is
actually going to join us a little bit later today.
I thought this was a special thing.
It is a special thing. Late afternoon radio, driving home,
Chung,
after a hard week.
You didn't tell me that other guys were using Adam.
I thought you knew.
No, how would I know? I don't wake up until after 9 every day. What? I mean.
Yep, 9 o'clock. I rolled right out of here. I knew you might be waking up then, so I didn't want you to hear me. But it is great to be here. There's always good time to be talking sports here at ESPN 97.5 and obviously doing things like I always do. For those of you that have missed me, hopefully you haven't here on the radio airwaves too much, but you probably saw me last night on Sports Sunday. Imagine that. We were talking about the 15-game winning streak for the Rockets, the 15-0 U of H Cougars at home, the Harden MVP season that we're all witnessing. And then a little bit earlier today, the obvious was announced by manager A.J. Hinch of the Astros. Yeah, Justin Verlander is going to go ahead and be our opening day starter this year. We'll bump Keuchel off the bump for the first time in 4 years. He'd gotten the ball each of the last three seasons on opening day. But now he'll get to watch JV do it, throw a gem, and then he'll get the Rangers on day two. We got a lot of things to discuss.
That's the right call.
Oh, and it's a non-call. It's a no-brainer.
Justin Verlander is the best pitcher on the team.
That's why he gets the ball first.
Yeah.
10 times after he throws that first pitch on opening day this year, his 10th assignment as an opening day starting pitcher. Did it 9 of the last 10 years with Detroit. As I mentioned, Keuchel did it the last 3 years.
Who got it the other year in Detroit?
You must at least hazard a guess now.
Jeff Weaver.
No, it was more recently than that. I think it was 4 seasons ago. Huh. It broke the string.
Max Scherzer?
No. He throws out of the bullpen at times for the Red Sox, this particular pitcher, like in the playoffs against the Astros.
Rick Porcello?
No. David Price.
Oh, David Price. He sucks.
So Verlander back for that.
What a foolish decision that was. No wonder the Tigers are where they are now.
they are struggling. But yeah, that's probably an element of baseball we'll talk about as we're in the midst of a basketball season where it's clear, very clear, teams are tanking to get to the top of the NBA draft. We're just wrapping up at the NFL Combine as well. No question, the buzz here in Houston for the NFL Combine, already usually pretty low, couldn't be any lower for a team that doesn't have any picks in the first two rounds. So what did you see at the Combine? Not water cooler talk around these city streets.
No, I would say not. And I didn't see anything at the Combine because I don't watch the Combine. I mean, I watch highlights of the Combine, but it's impossible for me to sit down and turn on NFL Network and watch these guys run and jump. I just don't care.
Run and jump. That's what they were there. Run and jump and lift.
That's kind of it, right?
Now, if they showed us what they don't show us, we would all watch it.
I want to watch
the interviews. Put a camera in the interviews.
Oh, man.
That would be phenomenal.
That would be must-see TV. They don't want to do that.
Because instead of waiting 5 years later to hear from Prospect A that said, yeah, the Dolphins asked me if I could be a cat or a dog, what would it be? I want to see it live.
I want to know live.
Very important analysis from the insiders on their scouting and what they can do. But yes, some of the players that you didn't watch will end up being Houston Texans. Obviously, what Shaquem Griffin was able to do, probably the best feel-good story of the Combine. And nobody knows anything today that they knew before the Combine about where these quarterbacks are going to go and who thinks most highly of Rosen and Darnold and Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and everybody else.
Yeah.
Way too early in the process. And even on draft night, we still won't know. Neither will the teams that pick them.
I think the craziest thing that's – and obviously, it's still, like you said, a long way before the draft happens. But the buzz is that the Browns are in love with two guys. And I hear these names, and there's no way I would take either one of them with the first pick. No way. Saquon Barkley might be the next – he might be O.J. Simpson without murder. I still wouldn't take him with the first pick. And Josh Allen, I wouldn't use a first round pick on Josh Allen.
So take Barkley first. No, he doesn't go with the first pick because I'm gonna guess because he's a running back and it's just not important enough.
Well, running backs don't last long enough. The shelf life isn't long enough. If you draft a player with the number one overall pick, that should be, unless you blew it, a cornerstone of your franchise for the next 10 years.
Yep.
And if he's not a cornerstone of your franchise for the next 5 years at least, that's a massive disappointment. But how many running backs nowadays have – how many of them get past 6-7 years and are still really good?
There's no question about it. It's a huge strike against them. There's nothing they can do about it. That's the nature of the league.
They get hurt.
You're watching teams use guys they draft wherever.
Well, that's the thing.
Whenever they want. You got third, fourth, fifth round, undrafted guys all being a part of offenses now and fairly significant part of some offenses.
What other position do guys have more success – being drafted late than running back? That's the one. I mean, you could find running backs all over the league. David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, these weren't first round guys.
And for bringing it to Houston, there's no reason at all to believe a healthy Dante Foreman, a middle round pick, third round pick, can't do more for the Texans offense than Lamar Miller.
Well,
immediately, as soon as he's healthy.
Think back to the best running back in the history of their franchise they found on a scrap heap.
Undrafted.
Yeah, and let's also think back to the last time the Browns used a very high pick on a running back. His name was Trent Richardson, and I'm pretty sure Trent Richardson is on the same scrap heap that someone found Arian Foster on.
Yeah, it's very unlikely, and that's really what I think the story of this whole draft is. All the conversation is about the quarterbacks, because nobody else, if you don't need a quarterback or you don't go up to get a quarterback or that quarterback isn't the first, second, or third pick, who's getting drafted? Who's the stud pass rusher that has to go one or two? Who's the stud anything that belongs at the top of the draft? These quarterbacks probably don't either, but they play quarterback.
Yeah, and there's the quarterbacks in this draft that I've got the most interest in. I like Sam Darnold the best. To me, he's the clear number one. I think that he might not be the best one year one. I think Josh Rosen might be better than him year one. But I think, give it a couple years, I think I'll much rather have Sam Darnold than Josh Rosen. These other guys, I don't know. And there's some guy like Bradley Chubb's a guy I look at and go, okay, I could see the interest. I could see why teams want to take that guy high. I can see why teams want to take Minkah Fitzpatrick high. Like, I think he's a great player. But you're right. There's not a guy at the top of this draft. And listen, I think Sam Darnold's good. Sam Darnold's coming off sort of I want to say a down year, but a year where he probably didn't meet expectations. And to me, he's the obvious number one pick, which that's not the way it should be.
We'll see if and when he declined some of the activities at the combine. So did others, Lamar Jackson among them, and that story in and of itself certainly deserves some conversation as we get closer to the draft. So hopefully I'll be back for some of that. He intrigues me more than any of the quarterbacks, to be quite honest with you. Lamar Jackson.
Oh, Lamar Jackson. Okay.
Absolutely. Just the football side of it.
Intrigues you enough that you would draft him?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I don't expect him to go before I know he's not going before any of these other guys. But after it gets to a certain point in the first round, certainly through the top 45 picks, I'm thinking about, well, this guy can help me win football games this year. I know it. I know he can be on the field for me this year and help me win, playing wherever he needs to be, taking snaps and running with the football, taking snaps and running read op, whatever. And then I can find out what he can be as a quarterback. But again, we don't get to sit there in the meetings with him. We don't get to run him through offenses and see all that. And I don't have access to quite as much film nor the time to spend watching it. So they know, the evaluators know a little bit more than we do on that, but definitely something to discuss, and obviously one of the things we'll get to over the course of the day, I believe, but definitely wanted to hit on what we have going on here with the 5.5 weeks to go to the end of the regular season. I don't think we've been around following the NBA where the Western Conference has been so clearly divided, so close to the top. Maybe there was 4 good teams and the rest, or maybe there was 6 good teams and the rest. There are 2 clear favorites in the West. They're going to meet in the Western Conference Finals, and everybody else is 5 steps behind them. And they're good. I don't think these teams are unworthy of being called good teams.
No, they're not.
But they're just nowhere near their level. It's amazing how far apart the Rockets and Warriors have put themselves.
Yeah.
And not just clearly in the standings. We can all look at the standings and see it. But you see it on a nightly basis when they play any one of them.
Well, I mean, how many times has there been, you know, even at the bottom of the West, there's some 500 team might sneak in. The Western Conference is good. Portland's 37-26. They're 11 games over 500 at about the three-quarter mark of the season. And we're just like, eh, okay. And I don't think anybody thought Portland was going to do that this year.
Right, we're looking over at the East. That's a half game better than the record Cleveland carries. And most of us think Cavs are probably going to win the East, or they're certainly one of the three that's going to win the
right.
East. And nobody, even the people that love that Portland Blazers team, love living in that area, life is great. They wouldn't even say, no, yeah, Portland's
better.
Got this.
They know better. Yeah, it is. It's pretty amazing that those two teams have just, they've put themselves head and shoulders above everyone else. Even the Spurs, who have kind of floated in that, you know, they were sort of a team that was in the middle. They were the divider. There was 1 and 2, then there was 3, and then there was the rest, 4 through 9. While the Spurs have fallen down into that 3 through 9 now, hubbub, or maybe even 3 through 10, if you want to be nice to the Jazz, who have played so much better the last few weeks. But the Spurs now, it's they're what, two games from, or a game and a half from not making the playoffs? That's crazy.
Yeah, it appears the LaMarcus Aldridge injury will be fairly short term, and he should be back, which probably solidifies their playoff spot. But the idea that Kawhi Leonard is coming back would also make them, without question, of every team that's not 1 or 2, if Kawhi Leonard's healthy, they're the most dangerous non-Rockets Warriors team.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody would want, I mean, I hate the idea, oh, who wants to play the Spurs? Well, the Rockets and Warriors would be like, okay, they're 10 games worse than us. We can beat them. We're better than them, even when they're healthy. Yes, it would be great if it was somebody else, but they're not afraid of them. Nobody's going to fall in that nobody wants to play them category.
But let's ask ourselves this. Where would the Rockets be if James Harden had played as much as Kawhi Leonard has this year?
Yeah.
They'd probably be about 10 games worse than they are.
I'd say they'd be third.
You know what I'm saying?
But a distant. Well, they might be second because nobody else would have jumped them. It'd just be the Warriors and then everybody else.
But let's talk about if the Warriors are the one team they're almost injury proof, because if they lose Steph Curry for an extended period of time, they've got three players still on the floor who are, you know, elite level NBA players. Most teams don't have that. But I mean, the Spurs were in third place most of this season with almost none of their best player, like their MVP candidate. They just didn't have him at all this year. So I was like, man, it's pretty impressive they've hung around this much. But if Kawhi and LaMarcus are healthy, even if I'm Golden State or Houston, I'm like, oh Lord, please.
Like, didn't we have a great regular season? Yeah. Well, then what did we do to deserve this?
You got
to play these guys?
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
It's like Wichita getting Kentucky in round two the year they're the one seed. They're like, oh, we're going to help you out, make you a one seed. We're going to put Kentucky as the eight seed, though, just so good luck.
Awful.
All right, we'll be back. We've got a full day of fun and frivolity planned for you. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. With a
ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Carbach Brewing, and you've been hearing about these guys for some time on our show, and they're brewing up the good stuff. Their restaurant is out of this world. If you haven't been by, lunch, dinner, they're open. You need to go check them out. They're out of this world, open 7 days a week. You get the brewery and dining experience all in one. They've got world-class cuisine. Some of my favorites, they put the Korean fried chicken back on the menu. I don't know why they took it off. It was a foolish mistake on their part, but they realized the error of their ways, and now it's back. You can get poutine there, which is really, really good. And everything they've got on the menu pairs perfectly with one of the many, many Carbach brews that they've got on the wall, including some special limited relief stuff. And guess what they've got coming up? The Love Street Music Fest is right around the corner. Mark your calendars now. It's Sunday, May 20th, and they're breaking out some big dogs for this thing. They've got some bands that you've heard of. You're actually going to see bands that have been around before. Everclear is one of the headliners, and I've remember Everclear from when I was a kid. So I was down as soon as I heard that the Tauntauns are going to be there. They've got a bunch of great bands on the list. May 20th, you can go to CarbachBrewing.com, and they've got tickets there now. The early bird tickets are already available. Unlikely Candidates is another one. The Bleachers, one of the bands. I don't have the full list in front of me, but you get the idea. It's a big layout, more token stations, more beer stations, more local vendors. And remember, CarbachBrewing.com for more info and tickets. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and pick up your favorite Carbach beer today. Or if you're at a bar on a Monday like a total degenerate, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
More of The Blitz coming at you. Adam Wexler in today for Fred Fowler along with A.J. Hoffman here. 713-780-3776. Just happens to be the Monday after the Oscars, and AJ knows very well that I am a massive cinephile, being as I see zero movies.
You don't ever watch movies?
Every year, and I have no idea what's good and what's bad until I hear about it on Twitter. But Kobe Bryant, he won an Oscar.
He did.
He's a movie maker.
Listen, everyone knows the basketball players should just shut up and dribble, but Kobe Bryant's actually made something of himself. Who would have thought that one of those stupid basketball players with a high school education could have actually
not
done
without
something
controversy
with his life? It's unbelievable.
His past was on full display on Twitter and everywhere else, and written Seacrest too.
Oh yes, Seacrest. Had Seacrest interviewed Kobe Bryant, the internet would have exploded.
I think you're right.
It would have exploded. But I gotta be honest. So you haven't seen any of the movies that they talked about?
I barely even know what they're about.
Okay, let me tell you what The Shape of Water is about.
I knew this would be the first one on the list.
Well, it won Best Picture. Somehow, it won Best Picture.
I did see someone refer to it as Sexy Aquaman. Is that a fair depiction of it?
I haven't seen the movie. I'm gonna read you...
I saw the trailers, I'm aware of it.
I'm going to read you a short description, and you tell me if you would ever consider watching this. Elisa is a mute, isolated woman who works as a cleaning lady in a hidden, high-security government lab in 1962 Baltimore. Her life changes forever when she discovers the lab's classified secret, a mysterious, scaled creature from South America that lives in a water tank. As Elisa develops a unique bond with her new friend, she soon learns that its fate and very survival lies in the hands of a hostile government agent and a marine biologist.
If we were playing Family Feud, top 100 answers on the board, what's the number one reason you would not want to see a movie? I could pick each little part of that synopsis out and say, yeah, that would be my number one, or that one, or that one.
Is it interspecies
set in 1962? I don't need to see a movie. We're in the 2018. Give me something from closer to now. Lead character doesn't speak.
Yep.
Not interested. That would probably be up there pretty high. How do you describe her co-star in the movie?
Is a merman.
A merman.
Yeah.
A deformed water...
A water mutant.
A water mutant. That's probably the best way. Yeah, I don't know if I would ever think to say, I don't want to see a movie with a water mutant, because I probably wouldn't think there's going to be one made.
Well, and I don't want to see a
movie... Especially one that'll be this well-received.
I don't want to see a movie where a water mutant has sex with a human. It's weird.
Is there a possibility we could get a sequel, though? Could we please have that?
Do you remember, now I know you've already said you don't watch many movies, but did you ever see the 1986 classic Howard the Duck?
Of course I saw that.
Do you remember how weird you felt when Leah Thompson had sex with Howard
the
Duck?
But she was just messing around with him. Remember? She was playing with him. She was all in her lingerie, and she was pretending that she was coming on to him, and she was interested, and his feathers shot up.
Right.
And then she was just messing around. Let's just go to bed. And it's not that. Yeah, that I thought was kind of weird. Very weird. And he was a talking duck.
A talking duck, yeah. At least there was dialogue between them. Well, there's no dialogue between a mute cleaning lady and a merman.
He gave every appearance of being a human. He just happened to be a duck.
Besides his large bill and feathers, he was very human. He smoked cigars. He wore clothes.
Like, at least as human as, say, Ted.
Exactly. Even more so, I would venture.
More height-like.
He was living and breathing.
Yep.
He wasn't like a stuffed animal. I mean, like, it's a...
And yet Ted got married.
True. So Ted at some point...
she was a looker.
Had sex.
Yeah.
God.
Movies, man. You gotta love them.
What a weird thing. Like, if you'd asked me... if you'd asked me that... If the best picture... You'd asked me 10 months ago if the best picture would be a movie about a mute lady having sex with a merman... I don't know what I would have told you.
But how do the other directors, producers, actors, writers of the other nominees feel? I'm Joe Nobody sitting here in this chair today thinking it's ridiculous. They made good movies.
How does the guy who wrote Darkest Hour, like this great Winston Churchill movie, how does he feel? How does the guy who made Dunkirk, Christopher Nolan, feel? Like, we're going to get... Sorry, guys. Your movies were good. But we're going to give it to the merman.
It's just funny. Like, you read it already. And a lonely janitor forms a unique relationship with an amphibious creature. Like, thank God they put unique before relationship.
Right.
Because you have to. I needed that.
Most relationships between mute janitors and mermen, they're unique. That's the first I've ever heard of one, honestly.
It's very unique.
By the definition, it is unique. Very strange. Very strange.
But that's what probably came out of the Oscars. The Shape of Water has been the chatter for the day.
Yeah, that's all I care about. I didn't love any of the movies. These are not movies for normal people. The Shape of Water is not for normal people. Phantom Thread. I don't know anybody who's like, oh yeah, I'd really love to go watch that movie. It's been on my mind to spend 3 hours watching Phantom Thread, which is a 1950s British royalty fashion movie.
Oh my, seriously, man, these are like the least. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with anybody else liking it.
But it's not relatable for normal people. Superhero movies, that's what we're talking about. Get Out is a normal movie, and it was really good. And I would have been okay if it would have won. Dunkirk is a normal, it's a war movie. I think people like war movies. That's like something that people, there should, you know what there should be for the Oscars for Best Picture? There should be a box office threshold that you've got to hit. Like,
It's got to be somewhat popular.
How many people went and saw The Shape of Water in theaters before it was nominated for Best Picture? 7 is the exact... I looked it up. It's 7 people went and saw the movie. It's Guillermo del Toro and 6 of his buddies went and saw it. And they charged Guillermo del Toro full price. No one wants to see that movie. It doesn't make sense. That's enough Oscars talk.
It made, in its wide opening weekend, it made $3
million. $3
million! And it hasn't crossed the $10 million mark.
Still?
Nope.
Oh, God.
So in the first 8 minutes of Black Panther's release, did it eclipse that?
Yeah. Yeah, Black Panther made that in the first probably 10 minutes. I mean, it's... Well, but Black Panther was made in 2018, so it wasn't nominated. It couldn't be nominated.
Well, all I know is I probably would have had a sports movie as my nominee for Best Picture.
You like sports movies?
I would have gone with I, Tonya.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I would have been okay with. Like, most of these movies are like, they're just not for me. And I know that not everybody's just like me. I get that. There's something
for
everyone.
Great place to be, man.
But there's like a lot of these. We should have done the whole segment on this, reading the short synopsis of each of the movies that was nominated. and the absurdity of some of the plots. And, John, you remember, I forgot what movie I went to see, but when I first saw the trailer for Get Out.
Oh, yeah, we ripped it.
I was like, this is the stupidest idea for a movie I've ever seen. It's the stupidest idea.
And now it's really good.
I watched it, and it was really good. It wasn't like 100% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes good, but it was good. Who's reading? It's the summer of 1983, and precocious 17-year-old Elio Perlman is spending the days with his family at their 17th-century villa in Lombardy, Italy. He soon meets Oliver, a handsome doctoral student who's working as an intern for Elio's father. Amid the sun-drenched splendor of their surroundings, Elio and Oliver discover the heady beauty of awakening desire over the course of a summer that will alter their lives forever.
Is that the
it's gay statutory rape in Italy. Best picture nominee.
So a Kevin Spacey biopic?
On that note, we should probably go to break.
We have some breaking news. Golden Boy Promotions just announced Canelo Alvarez has tested positive for a PED. His May 5th rematch with Gennady Golovkin is still on, though.
Oh.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's how sports should be.
So let this guy fight after he's tested positive.
That's
okay.
The way.
So performance-enhancing drug. Performance is still on. We want to see this.
Thank goodness, because as you know from last week's episodes, I've already got tickets to Golovkin Canelo 2. And I don't think they would have refunded my $350 fees on the ticket price. They would have said, that fee, that was non-refundable.
So after the break, we'll discuss why are they testing if the result is irrelevant?
If it doesn't matter, that's a good call. All right, we'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Darn that clenbuterol. Adam Wexler in for Fred Fowler today here on the Blitz. Plenty to discuss. As John just mentioned, we have an issue in boxing.
Is there, though?
Failed test for Canelo Alvarez. So we turn to Golden Boy's statement. As part of the voluntary testing program that Canelo Alvarez insisted on ahead of his May 5th fight. Again, I preface all this, all voice intonations and stress marks, they're coming from me personally. It's not how it's written, so just follow along. One of his results came back positive for trace levels of clenbuterol, consistent, of course, with meat contamination that has impacted dozens of athletes in Mexico over the last years. As has been planned, Canelo will immediately move his training camp from Mexico to the United States and will submit to any number and variety of additional tests ahead of the fight. So I'm going to train in Mexico. Just go with me here. Okay. I'm going to train in Mexico, cheat and cheat and cheat until I get caught. Then I'm going to move to the United States.
Where they've got non-tainted meat.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
These values, by the way, according to the director of the lab, these values are all within range of what is expected from meat contamination.
Well, the great thing, guess what? Gennady Golovkin, who's from Kazakhstan, guess what they don't have there? Beef. So no worries about that. Golovkin ate a tainted car muffler. bad news. Oh, it's so crazy. I'm glad
but,
the fight's
but at the end
going.
Of it all, we're here in early March. We've got basically 2 months to the day of when the fight will go off. The fight is going to go off.
I'm okay with it.
There's no concern that the fight won't happen, right? They obviously said it's still on. I don't have any reason to believe it won't be.
You know what they'll do? Like if Golovkin says, I don't want to fight him, which he wouldn't because Golovkin's like the real deal. He would never say that. But if he did, they would just say, oh, well, we'll give you this much more money. And he'd say,
well, no, he'll Max, probably let his people boxing. Take that route and he'll get more money.
This is boxing. Who's that on line four, Jong?
Oh, you, Mike?
Oh, no.
Isn't that putting him on blast by contemplating whether or not you're going to take him?
I'm really giving it serious thought. I honestly, from here, it looked like it said Dr. Mike, but it's the opposite of a doctor. All right, Mike, what do you have to say about this?
Well, y'all got me thinking like an attorney today, and I'm trying to find a way out for Canelo. So this will kind of work out for him, and it should go down as okay. Okay, our boy, our ex-boxer Marquez, remember he used to drink his own urine? Well, now we can just say Canelo thought, well, it'd probably be even better if I drank somebody else's urine. And so their urine is the one that was tainted, and so he's off.
But so you think that he drank Roger Clemens' urine is what you're saying? That has to be it.
That's an interesting perspective. Yet to be used as an excuse by a failed drug user.
No one's tried it.
Doesn't mean it won't happen.
No one's tried it.
Good thinking, OU Mike.
Gabriel wants to talk about the best picture. What's up, Gabriel?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports
hey, I was one of the seven, and I'm not going to lie, I was on a work trip in Midland. So I was like, why not? I'm a big Guillermo del Toro fan. Pan's Labyrinth is probably one of my top five movies. And it was good. It was worth the watch. Michael Shannon is actually really good in it. I'm surprised he didn't get nominated for anything. But I did see it. I did like it. And it's a one-time watch. And that was it.
Yeah. Well, you're a weirdo.
Okay. I mean, so that falls in the category.
Offense, Gabriel, but you're weird,
man. The question remains regarding the best picture, The Shape of Water. The question being, what would it take for you to go to the theater and see The Shape of Water? Gabriel's answer is...
Being in Midland.
I was stuck in Midland, and I was on a work trip. I don't know what else to do. There was nothing going on. I went to see The Shape of Water. That's what it takes.
I guess so. I mean, what happens in Midland anyway? What else are you going to do?
Unless it's Friday night, and you might get lucky and see a nice football game. You got nothing.
I might rather watch The Shape of Water than high school football.
What's wrong with high school football?
It's high school football.
You take it for what it is. What are your expectations? It shouldn't be that high.
No, I don't. I just don't want to.
You like
watch
college
it.
Football? You like pro football?
I do.
You're anti high school football?
I just don't like it. It's stupid. They're not that good.
High school sports of any kind?
No. No, or any other.
Basketball?
Oh, high school basketball is worse than high school football. Wow. Yeah, high school sports are stupid.
What about like
where? I mean, I get if you want to go watch because you got a kid playing.
Well, let me try to relate here.
Point out if you go watch high school sports and your kid isn't playing. You're a weird.
Then how's the gym always full?
There's a lot of weird people out there. That guy went and saw The Shape of Water.
He was in Midland. We're here in the H. So would you go see warehouse amateur UFC events? Where they don't know what they're doing?
I don't particularly like it, no. I've been to some.
I'm sure you have.
And as you, I mean, as someone who trains, you know, and fights.
Right.
A lot of the times when you start out, that's where you,
of course,
where you start. So I've had teammates fight in dance halls before. I've had teammates fight in a dance hall outside Lake Jackson, Texas. A black teammate, mind you, where we heard more N-words in 15 minutes than you could ever imagine because he was fighting some local redneck kid. It sucks, but that's part of it, you know. I've got no reason to go watch high school. I watched high school football when my brother was playing high school football. I went to all his games. As soon as he was out
You're
of high
back
school,
out again.
I was done. That's it. If my kids play high school football, I'll go watch. But I promise you, the day they're not playing football, I'm done. I don't care. Oh, well, I remember when I was playing, I'm going to go watch what these boys – no, I don't care.
It's
what
just
they
like you said
like.
Earlier, everybody's different. Yeah, you're your
There's
own man.
There's a lot of weirds.
Yeah, I would probably fall into that category. Clearly, I go to a lot of high school sporting events. For work, but...
You ever go for pleasure?
I haven't gone often, but I wouldn't say I would never go.
You're a weird.
See, I'm fine, and I'm totally fine with that.
So I pulled up the last 20 years of Best Pictures. Jong, you're going to have to help me because Adam, he's going to be a useless
on
this.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Best picture over the last 20 years. I'm going to set it at 2.5.
That you've seen?
Yeah. I think that's incredibly low, but I think, let's see how I do.
I have not seen The Shape of Water.
You can do this coming back?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're going to hit a break.
All right, fine. We'll be back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 975.
low.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
Rolling through hour number one of three on the Blitz today. Adam Wexler here. AJ Hoffman there. I'm filling in for Fred today. Hope he's not missed too badly. I'm sure he's off enjoying himself and prepping himself for the remainder of the basketball season, the
Fred?
Upcoming baseball season, CFL practice, the hockey season, or whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, Fred's not doing that. He's definitely not doing that. All right, so before the break, we were talking about the best picture. And I wanted to go through some of these movies. I wanted to see how many of them you've seen, first of all, and how many of them you've liked. You too, Jong. I know you've seen more than Adam. I want to know which one, if you actually thought this was a good movie. You haven't seen Shape of Water, right?
No.
Okay. None of us have.
He's not in the Magnificent Seven that's seen it.
I'm going to take a wild guess and base solely on the trailer that I've seen and what I've read about it and just the plot in general, the plot synopsis, it's a stupid movie. And listen, a lot of these stupid movies win. It happens. Moonlight last year was the winner. Did you see that?
No.
Because they had an all-black cast, you decided it wasn't worth your time, huh?
If you would have told me one of the best pictures from the last 5 years had an all-black cast, it would have been a total wild guess for me to guess which one you were talking about. No idea.
Jong, have you seen Moonlight?
No.
Well, I know that's the reason why you haven't seen it. Moonlight was good. Not great. It was good. I would never watch it again. Most of these movies that win this are depressing. Spotlight.
Well, what's the synopsis for Moonlight? I don't even know what it was.
God.
The only thing I remember was that they gave it to what, La La Land or something, and then it was actually Moonlight that won.
Yeah, like La La Land had won, or they announced
that's
that
the
La
only
La Land
ever,
had won.
I mean, that gained a lot more notoriety for the snafu.
And then they were like, "Whoops,
yeah, we made a big mistake here.
We
Steve Harvey'd it.
We've made a bit of an error." I mean, it's a movie of, I don't know how, I don't know. It's a coming-of-age movie. How about that?
Okay.
Also a little bit depressing.
Moonlight?
Spotlight?
Spotlight.
Also super depressing. Spotlight.
I really enjoyed Spotlight.
Maybe, pretty good, but yeah. Super depressing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You'd never watch it again.
No.
Birdman.
The Life and Times of Chris Anderson.
Oh,
I saw
Lord.
It. It was great. Great basketball movie.
I think this was like your favorite year, AJ.
Birdman was the stupidest movie.
Next to Boyhood?
Boyhood, right there in the conversation for stupidest movie. And that was like one and two. And like that's what everybody loved. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. You love these movies.
I liked The Imitation Game, which was nominated in the same year.
I you know what? I liked American Sniper. I like more movies. I liked Whiplash. That was good. Birdman is stupid. 12 Years a Slave. Incredibly depressing. Again, a good movie. But who wants to watch?
Right, but that
gets
worthy of a best picture, yes?
My white guilt.
Very, very good movie.
So,
I've been told.
My white guilt just starts pouring out of my ears when I watch 12 Years a Slave. Argo?
Right now, we're perfect still. I've not seen any
of these. You've not seen any of these, huh? Argo, stupid. Stupid movie, bad movie. I don't know how it won. No good. Jong, you watch it?
I watched it. I don't know if, I wouldn't say it was no good, but looking at the other nominees, I think like Zero Dark Thirty was a better movie. Silver Linings Playbook was a better movie. Life of Pi, Les Mis was a better movie. I think this.
Lincoln was a better movie.
Yeah.
Django was a better movie.
Yes.
Argo was stupid. The Artist, I've never seen it. I'll never watch it.
I haven't seen it either.
That's another movie that sounds stupid. I don't want to watch it. The King's Speech?
Boring.
It was very slow. I don't like movies that happened a long time ago.
There you go.
Unless it happened in a galaxy far, far away. yeah, I didn't like King's... I like The Hurt Locker. Now, The Hurt Locker, that's a guy... You haven't seen that, Adam?
No. Still perfect.
That's a good movie.
That's a man's movie. Oh. You'll like that.
I'll put
You'll
it on
like
the list
that.
Of movies I should see and won't.
Well, all right. Slumdog Millionaire?
I thought that was a good movie.
It was okay. I thought it was pretty good. I thought that year there was... That year, I saw 4 out of the 5 that got nominated. I wasn't crazy about any of them. So, I don't know that they shouldn't have won because, well, what are you going to do? Somebody's got to win.
Right.
2007, they got it right. No Country for Old Men was an awesome movie. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that one.
Oh, great movie.
Yeah, I can't believe you haven't seen any of these yet.
We're getting close. I think I'll have seen one or two.
Have you seen The Departed?
Yes.
Okay. Good?
I thought it was great. I really
enjoyed
it.
That's a good movie. That's another movie.
I will watch that many times over.
I've watched it multiple times. The Hurt Locker, I think that's the only one we've seen or that we've gotten to. The Hurt Locker, I've watched multiple times. No Country for Old Men, I've watched multiple times. The Departed, I've watched multiple times. Crash, stupid movie. And boy, everyone talked about how great Crash was. Oh my God, Crash is just brilliant. I watch them. What the hell is going on here? This is stupid. Did you see that, John?
I did watch it, but
you think it was brilliant?
It was underwhelming.
Ugh.
That's not what you should be saying about the best picture. It should not be underwhelming.
No. $1 Million Baby.
Sports movie. Didn't see it.
Didn't see it, John?
I watched it. I thought it was okay.
I thought it was okay. Nothing special. I thought Ray was awesome that year. The Ray Charles movie. I love it. Jamie Foxx did so great in that movie. 2003, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. Listen, I watched all those Lord of the Rings movies. I couldn't tell you what happened in one versus part three. I have no idea. It's fine. That's the best movie in the whole world that year.
It seems very odd.
It seems unlikely.
I don't know what the Academy has a fascination with Peter Jackson or something, but the Lord of the Rings movies got nominated 3 straight years.
3 straight years.
And The Dark Knight can't get nominated?
Yep. 2002, Chicago. I've never seen Chicago.
A bunch of singing and dancing, huh?
Yeah, I don't like movies. Yeah,
Gangs of New York should have won.
Gangs of New York is a great movie. I've watched that a lot of times. That's a good movie. Daniel Day-Lewis is a good actor. I like him. 2001, A Beautiful Mind. Makes you want to kill yourself. It's a... You can't watch that movie more than once. I mean, it was fine. It wasn't garbage, but you never want to watch it again. 2000, Gladiator. This was an okay movie. It is a little bit like, oh, that's the best movie they had that year.
So that was 2000?
That was 2000.
That means I'm batting one for the century, and we're in 2018.
Oh, boy. You never saw Gladiator, huh? No. I thought that would have been one of your ones.
No. Had a good run here, it looks like, at the end of the last century.
Well, we're only doing the last 20, so you only get two more, which means you're gonna miss out on Titanic and Braveheart and Forrest Gump and Schindler's
List.
Yeah,
I've seen all these.
Unforgiven, you've seen the
90s, man.
Silence of the Lambs, you've seen
all of them. Yeah,
you've Golden. Seen American Beauty.
Seen it? Of course, I've seen American.
And you
Beauty.
Love it?
I thought it was great. Yeah.
Did you love it, John?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I thought it was good. Have you watched it more than once?
Many, many times.
You're a liar.
Sure, it's on cable all the time.
You watch that movie over and over again, but you won't watch new movies?
If you're flipping through, it's on. I'll catch the last 45 minutes. I'll catch the first, whatever.
What about you, John? You watch that again?
I've seen it like Adam, but not like to that extent. I've seen it on, and I just leave it on. But
will you watch it now that you know Kevin Spacey is a gay statutory rapist?
Of course. It's now totally irrelevant.
Now that you know he is the plot of Call Me By My Name.
What I knew before is that he was an actor. What I know now, still an actor.
Okay.
No big deal.
Okay. What about Shakespeare in Love?
It's hard to believe, but yes.
I've not seen it.
I saw it.
Because I will never watch a movie called Shakespeare in Love. But have you seen Saving Private Ryan?
Yep.
What's better?
It's It's a no contest.
What's better?
Saving Private Ryan.
That's what I'm saying. That's why when I saw that a movie called Shakespeare in Love beat Saving Private Ryan, that the Oscars has very little credibility is what it boils down to. They get it wrong more often than not.
Well, we got another year.
And now we've got a merman movie. a merman human, a merman mute janitor sex story has now won Best Picture.
Now, this was the regular awards. Not describing it the way you did almost made me think you were talking about a different...
The Avians?
Yeah, maybe those.
No. Okay. If there were a porno movie where a male janitor who was a mute had sex with a mermaid, that I could
you
see.
You are
like,
so clever using the word if, like that hasn't been done. Come on, they've done
hold
them
on,
all.
Let me type this in on YouPorn.
Well, that
janitor
has,
mermaid.
That has Fred Fowler written
no
all over
found,
it.
No results found, Adam. You don't know. You don't know.
It just sounds like an easy storyline, you know. It's like it to give you something to work with and then go from there.
I'm writing this down in my future ideas for when I'm fired from radio.
You know they're working on this already right now because Shape of Water won the Academy Awards.
Oh, you're right. It's a waste. Somebody's going to do a porno.
Well, you better
about
go
it.
Home and do it today.
I don't have a mermaid costume. Plus, I'm not legally licensed and bonded to make porno movies, John. That would just be a mermaid sex tape, and that I don't think that's going to win any awards. All right, we'll be back. Hour number two of the Blitz, ESPN 97.5.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.